So welcome to our first of the weekly shiur. Our topic is halachos of raising children, or I think to translate is halachot of raising children, or something like that. So the goal over the course of the next, however many weeks it is, over the course of the summer session of the Night Seder, is to try to discuss some of the pivotal, some of the crucial, significant halachos that relate to child rearing, to bringing up children. Now, we're going to start tonight, as you see from the source sheet, we're going to start tonight with the topic of mitzvahs chinuch, meaning we know that when we talk about raising children, there's many shailas, there's many things that are... Oh, a disclaimer. I talk Ashkenazis, and I talk very fast, so no one should feel uncomfortable stopping me and asking me a question. I will ignore you, but it's worth trying to ask a question. I do go fast. Just slow me down if you need help with anything. So the topic that we're going to begin with tonight, mirza Hashem bli neder, is the topic of the mitzvah of chinuch. Again, there are many shailas and many different things which will come up over the course of the time as a person is blessed with siyata d'shmaya, with raising children or helping other people's children. A variety of halachas will come up. But the main guiding mitzvah, the guiding force behind everything we do for our children, and potentially even for other people's children, is the mitzvah of chinuch. The mitzvah of chinuch means what? How do you loosely translate it to English?
Education.
Training. Yeah, training. Yeah, exactly. Your kids come home with all kinds of crazy things from school. So, not in L.A., but they come home from crazy things in L.A. also, but this story didn't happen in L.A. Back in New York, my son came home one day, and... one of my sons, there are a few of them, so you don't know which one it was, and he hit someone else in the house, and he gave them a patch, as we say in Yiddish, pass the sheet down to the end. And I think my wife said, "What are you doing? What is that?" And he said, "That's chinuch." So he learned in school that chinuch means patching. That's not exactly true. Chinuch doesn't mean patching. It could be that the pasuk tells us in certain places that it's a good idea to help prod along chinuch to give a patch. That's not a practice we keep so carefully nowadays anymore. It doesn't seem to work as well with children nowadays. Chinuch means training, as you said. It means teaching children how to become Torah observant, Torah committed, Torah true Jewish people. So the mitzvah of chinuch is very crucial. It's very crucial. What age does chinuch start? Anyone have an answer to that? Anyone else? Anyone else? The answer is everyone's correct. It depends on the mitzvah. Each mitzvah is going to have a different starting point depending on the understanding of the child, depending on the age of the child, and depending on the type of mitzvah. So that's not a question we're going to answer directly tonight, but it's something to keep in mind as we go, that the mitzvah of chinuch does have formal starting points, and the place we'll actually start is an interesting place, which is, does chinuch actually have an ending point? So let's start with that. This is a very interesting discussion. So if you look in source number one, you have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah at the very end of the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos says, Hu haya Omer, ben chamesh shanim, 5 years old, lemikra. Once a child is 5 years old, he should begin studying psukim, studying chumash. That's the first thing a child should start to learn, is the psukim in chumash. Then, ben eser lemishnah. Once he's 10 years old, you can try to find the source, so you can pass that down to him. I forgot the first name. Steve. So 10 years old to Mishnah, and then ben shlosh esrei lemitzvos, which means when a person is 13 years old, they start to be obligated to mitzvos, which is what we colloquially refer to as bar mitzvah. A person becomes bar mitzvah. Excellent. Until that point, they're not obligated, right? They have no chiyuv to do mitzvos until they're 13, correct? Makes sense? Where does that number come from? Where does it come from that 13 years old, all of a sudden a guy is we call him a man, and he's able to keep mitzvahs, and he has to keep mitzvahs. Where does that come from, 13? Anyone know? It comes from here? Very good. Okay, let's move on. Now, so if you look in source number two, you have a very, very famous tshuva of the Rush. Rabbeinu Asher has a tshuva where he is asked this very question. Now, the Rush is most famous for it, but if you learn Pirkei Avos with the commentators on the side, with the Perish Rashi, with the other Rishonim, you'll find that some of them incorporate this idea into their understanding of the Mishnah as well. But the Rush made it famous here in Klal Tes Zayin. The Rush says that it's actually a halacha lemoshe misinai. Now, we have in the Gemara in Sukkah, in the very beginning of the Masechta, we have a Gemara which says that shirin u'mechitzin u'chatzitzin, certain dinim, certain halachos in the Torah, are not known by a pasuk. There's no pasuk in the Torah which tells you what the shir for achila is. You have to eat a kazayis in order to have a mitzvah matzah, right? Or eat a kazayis of iser in order to violate an iser. Shiurim, things that are measurements, right? We don't have psukim which tell us those measurements. The Gemara goes on to say in Sukkah, Daf Hey and Daf Vav, that there are psukim which hint towards those measurements. That's an interesting discussion, whether you could have hints in the pasuk to a halacha l'moshe misinai. But basically, the Gemara assumes that it's a halacha l'moshe misinai, which means it's a tradition that we have all the way back from Har Sinai. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Har Sinai, told Moshe Rabbeinu, here's the shear for matzah, here's the shear for maror, whatever the case might be in terms of mitzvos. He told Moshe Rabbeinu a tradition, and Moshe Rabbeinu passed that along the generations to us. But you can't look in the pasuk and say, how big is the amount of eating for this mitzvah, how big is the amount of eating for that mitzvah. Does that make sense so far? So shiurim, generally speaking, measurements of mitzvos, are not found in the psukim, they are found in a halacha, the Moshe Mesinai, a tradition. Says the Rush, our case is no exception. Our case is the same as this rule. Our case, says the Rush, is one in which the shear, the measurement of manhood, of adulthood, it's not only manhood, right? A female at 12 also becomes an adult. The shear of adulthood, that measurement of when a person becomes halachically an adult, is what? 13 years old. How do we know? Not from a pasuk in Chumash, not in Tanakh, nothing, no psukim. It's a halacha l'moshe misinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu himself that this was the case, and Moshe Rabbeinu passed that along to us for all generations following. Everyone following so far?
Yep.
That's the source.
They passed down from the age of Bar Mitzvah.
That the age of Bar Mitzvah is 13. Exactly. The age of their 13 is the Bar Mitzvah age. Correct. Okay. Now, based on this, the Chassam Sofer has a very, very, very fascinating Chiddush. The Chassam Sofer was a Rav, an Ashkenazi Rav in Pressburg in the 1800s. So he had a tremendous Chiddush based on this Rush. It's in Yordaeus and Kuf Pei Dalet. The Chassam Sofer says as follows. He says, if you look in the Rambam in Hilchus Malachim, the Rambam notes that non-Jews, Gentiles, do not have Shi'urim, which means whatever Shi'urim measurements we have for our mitzvos, Gentiles also have mitzvos, the Shavuot mitzvos Menoach. Shi'urim don't apply to them. There's no such thing as Shi'urim. And based on that, putting that together with the Rush, the Chassam Sofer comes up with a fantastic idea. He says, you and I, we were potter, we were exempt from all mitzvos until the age of 13. Your non-Jewish neighbor, a Gentile friend, he has Shavuot mitzvos Menoach. He's not allowed to steal. He's not allowed to eat Aver Men Achai. He's not allowed to do Avodah Zarah, right? He has to set up a court system. When does he become Chayiv in that? That's an interesting guess. The day he's born, okay. So there's no shirim. So we're putting things together here. Meaning you can't say 13. Because they don't have the halacha l'moshe misinai of 13 shiurim of when you become an adult. Fine. The day you're born is hard to imagine because you have no relationship with knowledge, anything. You can't understand what you're doing. So it's got to be some age. So what would you guess? 20. Earlier or later? 13. Just because, why?
Because there's a...
Because we have some precedent for it. I hear that. So what probably both of you are really referring to is the fact that we need some point in time where we could say it makes sense that they should become chayiv, right? It makes sense at this point they should become chayiv. We don't have a halacha l'moshe misinai tradition that's 13, so what age does it make sense to say a non-Jew becomes obligated in mitzvos? So the Chassam Sofer says that the age that makes sense depends on each child. If a child is bright enough, the moment they have an intellectual understanding, I don't know, for some people it might be 20. I know some people who still, even at 20, it's not clear they should be chayav mitzvos. But for some people, it'll be 5. For some people, it'll be 7. For some people, it'll be 13, or 12, or 15, or 8. It'll depend on the intellect of the child. But as soon as a person has an understanding of the mitzvos in front of them, they become obligated in the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Isn't that fascinating? So we have to wait till we're 13 to have the Mitzvos, which is actually a good thing because we don't have to get held accountable for all the Averos and all the Mitzvos until at least 13 will come back, definitely another Mitzvah Hashem. But a non-Jew has as much time as it takes for his Seichel, for his logic to develop, and then he becomes Chayav Mitzvos, which could start much earlier. If he understands Avodah Zarah at age 5, that there's only one Hashem. If he understands, people own crop. When do kids start to understand that something's yours and something's mine? Very young. Uncle Maishi starts teaching it all the way back at, I don't know, maybe you guys have a different Uncle Farhud? I don't know what you guys have, but Uncle Maishi teaches that already to 3 or 4 year olds that they... Did I curse? Okay, good. Uncle Maishi teaches that to 4 year olds already that they what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, but he really teaches the other way. You'll see if you look into it. But either way, we know what property is from a young age, correct? A very young age. So maybe already at 3, 4, 5, a child already can't steal. And if he steals, he's potentially liable to death penalty as a non-Jew because there is no age of 13. There's no shear. There's no measurement for a non-Jew.
I was going to ask, if you're not obligated to before you're 13, so you don't get the Averot.
Good.
But you
Excellent, excellent. So maybe we'll come back to that. It's a great question. Whether you get any sort of merit for having done it. Right. Okay, definitely good preparation. The question is if you get any sort of reward for that. Good question. We'll see. Or maybe we'll see. Or maybe I'm just trying to get rid of your question for now so we can move on. Okay, either way. So either way, this raises a very interesting question. Why isn't what we said true about Jews? Meaning, I personally, as you guys probably tell, I'm a little bit slow. But I have a child, 7 years old. He's very precocious. He's very smart. He's perspicacious. He's precocious. He's brilliant. He's wild. He's unseemly in a lot of ways. But he's got a lot of good things also. He's very bright. At the age of 7, he already understands a lot of the mitzvahs. I can tell. He understands a lot of things. So why shouldn't we say the same thing about him? The same way a goy, a non-Jew, once he understands, he becomes obligated in mitzvahs, so too a Jew. Like, why do we need a halach l'moshe misinai, and they just go based on their logic, based on their brain development, when they're chayav in mitzvahs? Why should it work differently for Jews and for non-Jews? So Reb Nassan Gestetner, in his Sefer Lahoros Nassan, has such a beautiful answer to this. Listen closely, this is gorgeous. He says like this, what are mitzvos? So it depends who you ask. How many mitzvos does a non-Jew have? 7. How many mitzvos does a Jew have? 613. What's the difference between the 613 mitzvos of a Jew and the 7 mitzvos of B'nai Noach? Huh? What's the difference? You would say 606, the answer is not 606. It's not a quantitative difference. It is a qualitative difference. The mitzvos by B'nai Noach, pay attention, the mitzvos by non-Jews are logical mitzvos. You can't worship Avodah Zarah because there's only one God, and betraying that God is the worst thing a person can imagine doing. You cannot steal. You cannot kill. You must set up a court system. These are all logical dinim, logical mitzvos, which help maintain, sustain, build an ethical society, a society that can function and won't crumble into anarchy, correct? I'm sorry? Yeah, it's almost natural. It's definitely intellectual. It's definitely cerebral. It's definitely logical, correct? That is the Sheva Mitzvah Noah. I have a question. Could you say the same thing about Kalayim, about Shatnez, about Tefillin? Does that build a moral society? Well, we believe that the mitzvos have kochos, they have powers that lead us towards a better world, but not in that natural way, not in the way that you can relate to in terms of building a safer, more sustainable society. So says Reb Nassim Gestetner, there's a difference. A non-Jew is chayiv in his mitzvos right when he understands them because his mitzvos are about understanding. They're about doing logical things, about building a safer, more sustainable, more functional society through the 7 mitzvos of maintaining order, law and order in the society. But a Jewish person is not chayiv in mitzvos the second he understands, because our mitzvos are lemala min haseichel. Our mitzvos are above and beyond human logic. They're divine. They're holy. They connect us to something bigger. They're not simply based on what we understand and what we don't understand. They apply even beyond our understanding. And even the mitzvos that we think we understand, we all know there's depth to them that we can never fully access. Once you get to understand the reason for the mitzvah of, I don't know, Shabbos, you start to learn Kabbalah, and you realize there's 100,000 other reasons for the mitzvah of Shabbos. And once you learn Kabbalah, you start to realize, wow, I didn't understand any of the original reasons. Then you go back to the original ones, and you realize you don't understand the Kabbalah reasons. And you can go deeper and deeper forever. You can never understand the depth of any mitzvah, of anything in the Torah fully. We can get a little bit of a ta'am, a taste of the mitzvah, but we can never fully understand. So says the halacha, the only time we can pin on the calendar of a person's life that he becomes obligated to mitzvahs is if Moshe Rabbeinu tells us from Hashem himself, now you're chayiv. Because you're never going to have the smarts to fully understand the mitzvah. We can't base it on your individual, independent logic. It has to be some objective, to us it seems arbitrary, but of course it's not, some objective time on the timeline of your life, some point in your life where your chayiv says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, that time is 13 years old. We're completely different than B'nai Noach in the mitzvahs that we have and the mitzvahs that we keep. Being that a child is not a bar or bas mitzvah until 13 or 12 for a man or for a woman, so the objective of his or her performance of mitzvahs in the earlier years, from years, let's just call it 2, 3, until 12 or 13, the objective of those mitzvahs is simply like you said before, it's training them. They're not obligated, they're not chayiv in mitzvahs at that point, they're simply practicing, they're getting ready for the big show. Then in a couple of years, they're going to become a gadol, they're going to become an adult, and they're going to be obligated in those mitzvahs. So they're training in the early years to get ready for that. Once the child reaches the age of bar mitzvah, does chinuch still apply? What would you say? No. Once he's a bar mitzvah, it's on him. What do we say at the bar mitzvah? Baruch sheptarani me'on shel zeh. I'm done with him, I'm through with him. He's on his own now. It's on him. So my chinuch mitzvah should cease to exist. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes that idea from the Mishnah Berurah. I don't believe this is on your sheet, but the Mishnah Berurah says in the Halachos. No, I don't have it on your sheet over here. But he says in Siman Reish Chaf Hey in Aruch Chaim, the Mishnah Berurah claims that once a boy becomes bar mitzvah, the mitzvah of chinuch goes away. The father no longer has an obligation to train this child because the child's on his own. He's an adult. He's got to play by the rules, and he's got to be responsible for himself to play by those rules, to adhere to the Torah and the mitzvahs. However, Moshe Feinstein says that's ludicrous. He says the Mishnah Berurah is dead wrong. It's a Gemara. I think the Gemara is on your sheet. The Gemara in Kiddush on Daf Lamed. It's probably source number 3 or something like that. The Gemara tells us that you have two different opinions, but basically speaking, the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Mishlei: Chanoch l'na'ar al pi darko gam ki yazkin lo yasir mimena. That a person should be mechane, should train, should teach his child to keep the mitzvahs when he's younger, so that when he's older, he will not stray from the path, correct? And the Gemara says, what does that apply to? So the Gemara gives two opinions, but basically it says it's a range of years 16 to 24. Meaning the age of chinuch that the Gemara refers to is a 16-year-old until a 24-year-old. Now, I don't have any 16-year-olds, but maybe some of you do have a 16-year-old in your family. I think it is pretty clear that they still need guidance at that age. Is that correct? I remember when I was I was an exception. I didn't need guidance, but most people need guidance still, maybe more so, in their teenage years, correct? So says the Gemara, yeah, absolutely correct. When you're a child, you need guidance, and when you're a teenager, middle of the childhood, before you become a real adult in the real world, so you also need guidance. In fact, that's the ikkar, that's the main type of guidance a person needs. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, you see right here, black and white in the Gemara and Kiddushin, that until the age of 20 or even 24, a child does still need chinuch, and therefore a person still has the chiyuv of chinuch on his children. It changes in the sense that he has more responsibility for himself. He has to take care of himself a little bit more. You can't change his diapers and you can't take care of his mitzvahs completely. It's on him, but it's also on you to keep prodding him along, to keep pushing him along. The mitzvah of chinuch doesn't stop at the age of 13. That's so important to remember, because we're not off duty as parents the second that a child becomes 13 years old. Adarava, just the opposite. In some ways, the job is really just beginning at that point. So the chinuch mitzvah really continues even past the point. Yeah. Good. So how does age 20 affect any of this? So we'll talk about that a little bit. There are psukim which relate to the fact, and Chazal pick up on this, that a person is not chayiv onshin, doesn't receive punishments for what he does until the age of 20. And because of that, there's a certain level of adulthood that isn't actually reached until the age of 20. And that's an important point to make, and we'll touch on it in maybe the following way. In that mission that we mentioned before, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, one of the preeminent Gedolim from the previous generation in America, he came from Europe, but he was in America for a long time, Toronto, then America. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and his Emes Liakov, he didn't write it, but it was collected teachings of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. They put it on the order of Pirkei Avos. So online, they reprinted it recently. I don't think they added anything in case you memorized it. But it's a new edition, a nicer printing. So they have a new printing of the Emes Liakov. But the Emes Liakov, he points out that the truth is the Ikr Chinuch, as we said before, really takes place at this age, 16 to 24. And based on that, he explains two very fascinating things. Listen to this. You're going to like this, I think. I don't really know you guys that well yet, but like, seems like some of you will like it. So at a Bris Mila, I just had a Bris Mila, not me, a friend of mine made a Bris Mila, not for himself, for his kid, this week. And at the Bris Mila, what we say as we're finishing up the naming of the baby, so we say Kishem Shenichnas LeBris, Kein Yikanes LeTorah, LeChupa UleMaisin Tovim. What does everyone ask? Torah makes sense right away. When he's young, we're going to teach him Torah, correct? Chupa makes sense. You're going to try to march him down to the Chupa one day. Maisin Tovim, you should do mitzvos. You should do good deeds, correct? Is that in order or out of order? That is chronologically what we call messed up, correct? Really, you do mitzvos before you get married. If you don't, it's a hard time getting married. If you're not such a good guy doing nice and tovim, it's going to be hard to find the shidduch, correct? So a person is supposed to do Torah first, sure, then nice and tovim, then chuppah. Why do we flip it? Why do we say that a person does chuppah, then nice and tovim? That doesn't seem to make any sense. So the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, based on what you brought up, until the age of 20, a person is still called by the Torah taf. He's still a youngster. He's still a young person, and until the age of 20, like you said, he's not really chayiv, he's not really going to incur any punishment for the actions that he does. He's not fully bearing the responsibility of the crimes that he commits. And as such, a person is really a child in halacha all the way up until the age of 20 at least. And because of that, says Rabbi Yaakov, look back at the timeline. What comes first? Torah. I teach the child Torah. Absolutely correct. Good. What comes next? Well, the Mishnah says, when are you supposed to get married? 18 years old. So at 18 years old, that's the next timeline, next spot on the timeline, says the Mishnah, get married. Chuppah. What's at 20? Mice and Tovim, when you become a real adult. Yeah, we call you a little bit of an adult. It's a teenager. We have a concept of teenager. You're semi-responsible of your actions. You have to take more responsibility, but you're not fully there. You're not an adult yet. So says the bracha, says the nusach that we say in the tefillah, at a bris milah, first the Torah, ken yikanes the Torah, then l'chuppah at the age of 18, and by the time he's 20, he better be up to ma'aseh tovim, because that's the time that the ikra chiyuv really kicks in for this now just a newly turned young adult. Additionally, based on this, this comes back to your point, Rabbi Yaakov says, what's the pshat, you should be thinking this right now, at the bar mitzvah, what bracha did we say we make? Baruch Sheptarani Me'onsho Shelzeh. What does that mean? Baruch Hashem, thank you for what? Exempting me from this guy's punishments. So usually what we assume that to mean is the following. Until now, as the father, I'm responsible. I bear the responsibility for my child's averos. He's too young. He's not going to take the hit. I'm going to take the hit for him. At the age of 13, he becomes an adult. It's on him. Correct? So I say, thank God, no longer do I have to worry about this guy's onshin, this guy's punishments that I was incurring on his behalf. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it doesn't make sense. He doesn't get punished until what age? 20. So Rabbi Yaakov says, that's not what we mean when we say, Baruch Sheptarani Me'onsho Shelzeh. It means, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it means that until the age, you're going to like this, until the age of 13, the way to talk to a child is through discipline. They don't have enough of a seichel developed to have a back and forth conversation. Try to convince a child what's right, what's wrong. Until the age of 13, the seichel, the logic's not developed enough, the brain, for them to understand talking about chinuch. So it takes onshin. It takes discipline. It takes telling them the right way to do it in a forceful manner. Once he turns 13, we say, Baruch Sheptarani Me'onsho Shelzeh, I no longer have to relate to this kid in a form of punishment. You know what I could do now? I can give a bar mitzvah drasha. I could talk to him. I could try to explain to him, show him right from wrong, discuss with him the sugya. Try to understand what he's supposed to do and what he's not supposed to do. No longer do I have to do it as a ma'anish, as someone who's punishing, but as someone who could talk reasonably, logically, with my child. That's my new tafkid. I'm talking to myself. Baruch Sheptarani Me'onsho Shelzeh, that I no longer have to punish this kid, and I should actually talk to him as a bar mitzvah boy. So that's a beautiful idea that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, but basically it's all built on everything we said until now. That the shear of 13 is a halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai. That's why it only applies by Jews. We explained because Jews don't go by their logic, they go by something higher. A higher calling of the mitzvos. So it can't go based on when your brain develops. It has to go based on some objective standard set by Hashem himself to Moshe Rabbeinu. Then we continue to say that chinuch doesn't stop once you hit the age of 13. It actually really is just beginning. We got to keep guiding our children. So what's the difference between 13 and 20? What is that middle age? So Rabbi Yaakov is telling us it's this teenage. It's this in-between stage where a person is semi-adult. He's almost there. And there's a lot more responsibility, but not quite all the achrayas we expect from a full-fledged adult. That comes at the age of 20, and with that, Rabbi Yaakov explained to us, Torah, chuppah, and then ma'aseh tovim, because 18 is chuppah, 20 is ma'aseh tovim, and with that he explained the bracha, Baruch Sheptarani Me'onsho Shelzeh, that we're actually saying, thank you that I no longer have to offer, administer these punishments, rather I could talk reasonably to my child at the age of 13 and on to really learn with him the sugyas of chinuch. Okay, that's an introduction to the idea of when chinuch starts and when it doesn't end. But if you look in source number 4, we are going to start to discuss really the idea of the mitzvah of chinuch, and we want to try to get to two things. We want to get to the question of to whom does the mitzvah of chinuch apply? What do you obviously say first? Who does it apply to? We've been talking until now about one person. The father, right? The father, the avi haben, the father, or the avi habas, the father of the daughter, has a chiyuv, has a mitzvah, has an obligation of chinuch, of training their children to go in the derech Hashem, correct? Does it only apply to a father? Does it apply to anyone else? That's something we want to get to. In order to get there, we're also going to want to see what the source for chinuch is. Is there a mitzvah d'oraisa of chinuch? Does it come in the psukim? Is it biblical in nature? Is it derabanan? Is it in the Navi? Is it in Mishle, like we said before? Where does it come from? And through all of that, hopefully we'll glean a little bit of a picture. I'd like to take a few minutes at the end to say a little bit something on the Parsha, but if we get to all this tonight, Matov Manayim, we'll glean a little bit of a picture of the parameters of the mitzvah of chinuch, what's included in chinuch, and how careful, how scrupulous you have to be about chinuch based on everything we discussed until then. You have your hand up?
Yeah, good question. So just to reiterate, make sure I understand. From 13 to 18, or from 13 to 20,
right?
Teenagers are required to keep the mitzvot.
Absolutely.
And they're liable, but the punishment's deferred.
Yes. Absolutely right. That was said in English. I speak in more yeshivish. That was an English way of saying it. Correct. Okay, so here we have a Gemara in Sukkah, source number 4. The Gemara in Sukkah is commenting on the Mishnah. The Mishnah has a machlokas, a dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about the following case. Let's say you have a Sukkah on Sukkahs that is 20 amos, or let's say it's higher than 20 amos high on Sukkahs. Is that kosher or pasul? What would you say? It's pasul, but that's a machlokas, the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that it's kosher, that it's a valid sukkah, even if it's above 20 amos, esrim amma. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda tries to garner support. He tries to bring a proof for his stance that a sukkah above 20 amos is indeed kosher, and he brings it from the following story. He says, Maisa behilni hamalka. There was a malka, there was a queen, a lady who existed, who had a sukkah herself. She had a sukkah herself, and this sukkah was definitely more than esrim amma. It was certainly above that amount of 20 amos high. And even so, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda says, even so, all the rabbanim, all the chachamim, used to come and go from her sukkah. They treated her with great respect. She was hilni amalka. They treated her with respect. And they never said boo. They never said, hey, your sukkah's not kosher. So the Gemara says, what's the obvious pushback? Why is that not a proof? And she was also a... emphasis on the she. She was a woman. Is a woman chayev in sukkah? Is a woman chayeves in sukkah, I should say? Absolutely not. So maybe the chachamim came in and out of her sukkah and didn't say anything to her about her sukkah being pasul because they don't care. Because she doesn't have to sit in a sukkah. So the Gemara says, no, it's true. She was a woman and she was petura. But what did she have? She had 7 sons. She had 7 sons. Now the Gemara does the math over here and assumes that if she had 7 sons, even if it was in succession, one of those kids had to have been above 5 or 6 years old. And the Gemara in Daf Chaf Ches and Masechet Sukkah assumes that once a child is 5 or 6 years old, they're considered less dependent on their mother, and therefore they are chayiv in chinuch, in the sukkah. So we assume, says the Gemara, that Hilni Hamalka had at least 1 or 2 sons who were chayiv because of chinuch to be sitting in a sukkah, and because of that, she must have been doing it in such a way that they were going to keep the mitzvah. So the Chachamim came in and out. They saw this lady sitting in a sukkah that was 20 amos high, and they didn't say boo to her. And Rabbi Yehuda says they should have, if they thought it was pasul, if they thought it was invalid, they should have complained. Hey, you should lower your schach. So he said, she's a woman. Yeah, but she had a kid there that she was trying to be mechanech, train in mitzvos. She's got to train him in the proper way for a sukkah. Clearly, they thought that the sukkah above esrim amma was in fact kosher, was in fact a valid sukkah. Does that make sense to everyone so far? So that's the proof that Rabbi Yehuda brings. Now, what do you see over here? We said a father is chayiv in chinuch, correct? Do you see if anyone else is chayiv in chinuch over here? It sounds like it's black and white, right? It sounds like it's very clear that the mother, the aim, the mother of the children, is also chayeves in chinuch, is also obligated to train her children, which is why Hilni Amalka had to take great care, go to great extent, to make sure that her 7 children were sitting in the sukkah. That seems to be the obvious understanding. And if you look at the Rashi here, it's in Rashi script, so it's easy to find. If you can't find the Rashi script, we'll talk after. So Rashi here says, pretty much black and white, he explains that we're talking about the mitzvah of chinuch here. We're talking about the mitzvah of chinuch here. The mitzvah of chinuch is applicable, apparently, to the mother. Rashi corroborates this elsewhere. Rashi corroborates this in Masechet Chagiga, in the very beginning of the Mishnah, in the very beginning of the Masechta. In the Mishnah, Rashi assumes very clearly that the mother is chayeves in chinuch as well. And if you look in the, you guys are familiar, I assume, with the Sefer Yalkut Yosef. So in Yalkut Yosef, or Yalkut Yosef, so in the, there's one volume that's on chinuch and dine katan. So in the Hakdama, in the introduction to that Sefer, he quotes a whole list of achronim and rishonim who assume this way as well. The Stei Chemed and the Chikrei Lev and others who all assume that the mother is indeed chayev in chinuch. She's also obligated to train her children, which I guess makes sense. Meaning the father has the obligation to train the children. The mother should too, right? Is there any reason you would think a mother wouldn't have a mitzvah chinuch? Is it, so that's an interesting point. Is it like a time-bound mitzvah? So that's a different type of time-bound. It's not time-bound in the sense that it comes up once in a while. It's time-bound in the sense that it's, I don't know, it exists between 2 times for a certain points of life, let's say. But I don't know. I don't know if that's considered a, you know, mitzvah essay versus non-grama. It's an interesting point.
The woman doesn't know the halakha the way the man does. The man obligates to know the halakha.
Right, meaning the man will be more equipped to do chinuch than a woman. Maybe it'll be up to her to ask the rabbis every shayla and still have to do the mitzvah of chinuch. Maybe you're right, but maybe she has to find out and she's chayv to do so. Or maybe the very fact that she doesn't know enough is enough to disqualify her. That's an interesting point. Okay, but we see so... Yeah? Very good. Right, right. There are mitzvos. The Gemara in Kedushin, the Mishnah in Kedushin on Daf Chaf Tes. Very good. Says that there are mitzvos ha-ben ha-tluyos al-av, mitzvos ha-av tluyos al-ben. There are certain mitzvos that there's like a reciprocal relationship that the father has to help the son perform, that the son has to help the father. What's that supposed to mean? No. I want to know what's that supposed to mean. You see me as the type of guy who's going to go over. So I think it's upside down. I think it's actually 5:06. We have like 4 hours. We're good. So there's a chiyuv. Very good. So there are certain chiyuvim that a son has to a father has to a son. The mother is excluded from some of those. So maybe this could have fit into that. Very, very good. Very interesting. Do we have a precedent? Do you like the precedent?
Yeah.
Do we have a precedent for something that a woman would be chayiv in as a mother? So here, very fascinatingly, Rabbi Kiva Eger, in his commentary on the Gemara in Sukkah, Rabbi Kiva Eger in the Gilyon HaShas, that's the commentary on the side of the page. It's not on your source sheet. He comments that this is against a Tosfos Yeshanim. Tosfos Yeshanim, one of the Balei Tosfos, all the way over in Maseches Yuma, in Seder Mawid also, but in Maseches Yuma, Pei Beis. Amar Aleph, the Tosfos Yeshanim offers two opinions, but one of the opinions he says very clearly is that a mother is absolutely not obligated in the mitzvah of chinuch. A mother is not chayeves to be mechaneches, to train her child to grow in mitzvos, to learn how to do mitzvos, and this seems to be clear in the Gemara in Nazir on Daf Chaf Tes Amud Aleph. We don't have time to get into it right now. And the truth is, the Magen Avraham paskins this way in Orach Chayim Simin Shin Mem Gimel. So we do have a whole slew of Rishonim and Achronim who assume that a mother has no obligation of chinuch. What would you guess? What do you do with the Gemara? The Gemara seems to imply that she is chayiv in chinuch. No. Meaning what? Oh, very interesting. Meaning they were checking in on the kids to make sure the kids, it was their chiyuv to take care. So that's an interesting discussion. If once you don't have a father and you don't have a mother, is anyone else chayiv to take care of this child? So we should talk about that in a future week. Very interesting suggestion. Yeah. What else would you say about the Gemara? Is there another answer? Baba? Ooh, very good. Okay, we'll come back to that. Very good. We're not up to that yet. So I would have said very simple. The Tosfos Yeshanim says this. Now, is it true that I saw the Tosfos Yeshanim already and therefore I'm saying it? Yeah, but I'm honest, right? So Tosfos Yeshanim suggests like this. He says, yes, it's true that Hilni HaMalka, this mother, was trying to do chinuch on her children. Achomra, Amidas Chasidus. She was going above and beyond the demand. She didn't have to offer chinuch to her children, but she went above and beyond and offered chinuch to her children a mitzvah ba'alma, just a midas chasidus, a chumra that she was performing. That's what the Tosfos Yeshanim suggests. Rabbi Kiva Eger doesn't like this at all, and maybe people here don't like it either, but Rabbi Kiva Eger doesn't like this at all, and we'll come back to that with your point, Bilina der Mitzvah Shem, as soon as possible. But just to clear the air a little bit and try to understand forest from the trees a little bit, what is the pshat? Why would a woman not be chayeves in chinuch? Now, you sort of provide an answer, we don't have precedent, but let's talk a little bit deeper. What's the source of the mitzvah of chinuch? Look at the top of page 2, source number 7. The classically quoted source for chinuch, source number 7, is the pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei says, chanuch lanar al pi darko, gam ki yazkin lo yasrim mena, that there's a chiv of chinuch because we have to prepare the child to become an adult. So there's a chiv of chinuch. Should a father be obligated in that? Absolutely. Should a mother be obligated in that? No, why not? Why not? She's also going to try to prepare her child. So it's hard to imagine if the source is chanuch lenar al pi darko, you have to prepare your child for adulthood, why shouldn't a mother be equally relevant to that mitzvah? But perhaps there's another suggestion. This is a suggestion that my Rebbe, Rav Twersky Shlita, once suggested. And the truth is, you find it here in source number 6, the Meshech Chachma, Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk. Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk lived in? Dvinsk. Wow, you guys are really sharp. Yeah, Dvinsk. It's not called Dvinsk nowadays. It's called? I don't know. I think like Dog of Peels or something funny like that. It's changed names a few times in history. So he lived in Dvinsk. He only died in the 1920s, not so long ago. He was a fin de siècle Jew. He lived at the end of the 19th century. That's a word to hold on to, fin de siècle. So the Rav Meir Simcha Midvinsk wrote the Sefer Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma is a masterful, masterful commentary on the Torah. It weaves halacha and agada, Yerushalmi and Bavli, Kabbalah, it has everything. It's an unbelievable sefer. So in the Parsha, Parshas Vayera, he suggests the following, which my Rebbe also suggested independently, which is also said in the name of Chaim Soloveitchik, like this. We have a mitzvah in the Torah of Limartem Osam es Benechem Ladaber Bam, which means what? There's a mitzvah to teach your children Torah. Who's chayiv to teach his child Torah? We mentioned this before. Only the father. The father's chayiv in learning, the father's chayiv in teaching. The mother is not chayiv in Talmud Torah, not learning, and not teaching. They're interconnected, that's a shir for another time, how interconnected they are. But there's a mitzvah on the father to teach Torah to the child. Says Rav Meir Simcha, maybe, the mitzvah of chinuch is really an outgrowth of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I must teach you the Torah. I need to teach you how to keep the Torah, how to learn the Torah, how to observe every mitzvah in the Torah. Perhaps those two mitzvahs are interconnected. And in some way, the mitzvah of chinuch, of training a child, is indeed sourced in the mitzvah d'araisa, the biblical mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And if that's the case, then of course a father is chayav to teach his child how to do mitzvahs, how to understand mitzvahs, how to perform mitzvahs, but a mother would be exempt. Because she's not bichlal, she's not included in the concept of Talmud Torah. And if it's limited to a mother, maybe it's because the source really comes from the world of Talmud Torah, which a mother doesn't necessarily have the real relevance to enough to incur a chiv of chinuch for his children, for her children. A brilliant suggestion, again, by Rav Twersky, by Rav Meir Simcha, by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, by all those who suggested it. Ooh, very good. Meaning, if the chiyuv is from Talmud Torah, from my end as the teacher, then maybe it's also a chiyuv of Talmud Torah from the learning end, and the daughter is not going to have a chiyuv of learning. So that is an excellent point. I guess the answer would be that, exactly, there's going to be mitzvot she has to keep. So she has always the practical need for chinuch. Who is going to be chayav to do it might be based on Talmud Torah, but she's always going to have a need to learn how to do mitzvot. It's impossible. If she doesn't know how to light Neros Shabbos, how's she going to do it? So, but that's an excellent, but you're thinking correctly. Very good. Either way, Rabbi Kiva Eger doesn't like this Tosfos Yeshanim. He assumes absolutely the Gemara in Sukkah is black on white. The Gemara in Sukkah says that a woman is chayiv in chinuch. Hilni Amalka was doing chinuch. You tell me it's a chumrah? Doesn't sound like a chumrah. Sounds like it was maker adin. Sounds like she was doing what was strictly demanded of her. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva Eger does away, leaves this Tosfos Yeshanim Tzarech Iyun Gadol. Tzarech Iyun Gadol means it needs tremendous amount of learning to understand it, meaning I'm never going to understand this. I don't understand this question on the Tosfos Yeshanim. So the Achronim suggested along the lines of what you brought up prematurely before. It wasn't your fault, but it was premature in the sense that I wasn't mature enough to handle it then. So the Achronim, the Stipler Gaon in particular, is most famous for this, and his Sefer Kilos Yaakov on Maseches Sukkah, they suggest the following brilliant answer. It takes a little bit of background, though. We tend to assume that the mitzvah of chinuch is on whom? Let's just say for now, the parent, the father, right? Vaguely, the parent. Okay. It's on the parent. The son, the child, is completely exempt from mitzvos. He's not old enough to be chayiv in mitzvos. That's correct? So therefore, the chiv of chinuch is on me to teach him. The truth is, and we're going to streamline here, if you look in the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Memches, and you put it together with the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Chaf, and you look at Rishonim, it comes out there's actually a machlokas Rishonim about this. Rashi assumes, like we said, that the mitzvah of chinuch is solely on the parent. The child is putter for mitzvos. He's not old enough to be chayiv in mitzvos. It does not apply to him. However, if you look in the Rambam, you find hints to this, but if you look in the Ran, and if you look in Tosfos and Maseches Brachos on Daf Mem Chesam Beis, you will find that some of the Rishonim assume that in addition to the father's mitzvah to train the child has an obligation, rabbinically, midrabanan, to be trained, to be mischanech, to be mechunach. I wish my 3-year-old would know that about potty training right now. It would be really helpful. He doesn't feel a need to be trained. But every Jewish boy, every Jewish yingle, has a need, has a chiyuv to be trained in mitzvos, to be mischanich in mitzvos, and that's a chiyuv midrabanan, a rabbinic obligation on the child himself to do the mitzvos because of chinuch. Based on that, the Stipler and other achronim suggest that maybe that's what's going on in our Gemara. Listen to this. Our Gemara said, Hilni Amalka, she wanted to make sure her children were keeping the mitzvah of sukkah because of chinuch, correct? But we pointed out, Tosfos Yeshanim says, there is no mitzvah of chinuch on the mother. Maybe because it comes from Talmud Torah, we suggested, right? There's no mitzvah of training for the mother. So how do you put the Gemara together with that? So maybe the answer is like this. Ein hachanami, you're absolutely right. A mother has no obligation to train her children. But her children have an obligation to be trained. And Hilni Amalka might not have been chayiv, but she was a nice person. And she realized that it was her job to assist her children, which I think you were suggesting before, to help her children, to prod them along in their obligation, their chiyuv of chinuch. She was exempt. She's a mother. She's a woman. She doesn't have a chiyuv of chinuch, but an attempt to help her children pass the test and keep the mitzvah of chinuch that's on their head, rabbinically midrabbanan. She decided to help them out, lend them a helping hand by building them a sukkah that they could sit in on sukkahs. So Hilni wasn't chayiv. A mother's not necessarily chayiv, but she still wants to help her children be mekayim their mitzvah of chinuch in the sukkah. A very brilliant suggestion by the Achronim to explain and answer Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha. Now, this is the machlokas in the Achronim. We quoted before, Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, he notes that many of the predominant Achronim, the poskim, do suggest that a woman is chayiv. The Mishnah Berurah has two opinions about this. So it's very likely that a woman does have a chiyuv in chinuch, in training her children. But even if she didn't, she'd be there to help the father with his chiyuv, to help the child with their chiyuvim. That's her job as a mother, to be there as an assistant at least. And at most, maybe she's also chayiv, chanoch lenar al pi darko, if the source is one of training the child. So then maybe she too is included in it as well. There's another critical halacha that comes out of this Gemara. We're going to go through it quickly because I do want to get to the Parsha if we can. But the Gemara seems to say that there's a proof for Rabbi Yehuda that your sukkah can be higher than 20 amos. Why? Because Hilni Amalka made a sukkah that high and she was doing chinuch on the children, which means it must be that the sukkah was kosher, correct? I have a question. Why is that? I'm sorry? And the Rabbanim didn't say anything and the Rabbanim didn't object, correct? The Ritva here points out, if you look in source number 9, the Ritva here points out in his commentary, he says, you see from here that in order to do the mitzvah of chinuch, you have to do the mitzvah properly. Let's say come Sukkis, and I have a 7-year-old, and he wants to do the mitzvah of lulav, and he gets it. He knows how to pick it up. He knows how to shake it a little bit. He understands the mitzvah of sukkah. So I get him a lemon, and I get him a baseball bat, and I color it green, and I say, here's your lulav and your esrog. Does that work? Well, it's sort of training, though. I mean, he's going to learn how to hold the lulav. Why is that so bad? Says the Ritva, it has to be a kasher, a lulav, an esrog. You get him a lulav that's chopped off on the top. You get him a lulav that's dried out, an esrog that's broken. So that is not the mitzvah of Dalad Minim on Sukkis. When you do chinuch, when you train the child, it has to be to the T. It has to be that you're doing it the way that's proper. You buy a chinuch set from the Meicher Dalad Minim. The chinuch set you buy has to be a kosher lulav nesrog. Okay, you don't need to get him the most beautiful one. Truth be told, you don't need to get yourself the most beautiful one. The market is crazy. You can get yourself a normal kosher mahudar esrog and a mahudar lulav for a lot less than they charge you on the street. Just buy the next step down. They're just as kosher, they're just as mahudar, but that's a story for a different time. The rest of it you should give to tzedakah. By the way, I run a kola which accepts tzedakah. So the mitzvah of chinuch, however, the mitzvah of chinuch is to train your child to do the mitzvah properly. And says the Ritva, you see that here in our Gemara, that the sukkah had to be kosher in order for her to be mekayim, the mitzvah of chinuch, in the utmost level, in the utmost fashion. There's an interesting discussion in the poskim, we don't have much time to get into it now, about the following case. On the first day of Sukkis, you have to take a lulav and esrog, and it has to belong to you. Ulkachtem lachem by Yom HaRishon. Pre-Eitz Hadar Kapos Tamar Va'anaf Eitz Avos Va'arvei Nachal. You have to take your own lulav and esrog. You have to have ownership. A lulav sha'ul, a borrowed lulav, a borrowed esrog, does not suffice for the mitzvah of Dalad Minim on the first day of Sukkis. What about a child? You're training a child. Can he use a borrowed lulav? What would you say? Why? It's not kosher for you. He's not chayiv, but it's chinuch. You got to teach him the right way properly. So I would have said, and this is the machlokas in the poskim, so you're not dead wrong, yet, we'll get you. Some of the poskim say, like I'm saying, the Ritva says you got to do it the right way. He's not going to be yotzei when he's older with the bar or the lulav, so why would he be yotzei now? But some of the poskim say like you, and they say, yeah, if it's ripped, if it's broken on top, if it's dried out, it's very noticeable. It's obvious that this mitzvah is messed up, and he's not going to be yotzei with that when he's older. However, if it's something that's not perceivable, he can't notice, he can't see, it's not recognizable, it's not discernible what the problem is. It just happens to be borrowed. It's not a problem with the cheftza shel mitzvah, the object of the mitzvah. It's a problem with the maisa shel mitzvah. Oh, if that's the case, we're not as strict. So Moshe Feinstein points out that in Europe they were mekel, they were lenient about this. But he says in America, we all have enough money, buy your kid a lulav for himself. He can handle it and you can handle it, so get him a kasher lulav. But Rav Avadya Yosef in the Sefer Chazon Rav Avadya on Hilchos Sukkis, so he says that really we have room to be lenient on this. That if you only have a borrowed lulav, you have your own lulav and you lend it to him in such a way that you don't run into other issues which you don't have time to get into, then indeed a katan can use a borrowed lulav even on day one of Yom Tov of Sukkis.